Roger, thanks. That was really, really good. Can you just develop a little bit more the contrast and how the gifts would cease? You know, the tongues would do themselves in. And those words have always been perplexing to me. What that really, how would they do themselves in? Just develop that just a little bit.
Well, they are perplexing, actually, and I just wanted to say them and be done with it, you know. But I think it really had to do with the apostles. I think the miraculous spiritual gifts had some purposes, and their first purpose was to authenticate the apostles as from God. And that worked even through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It worked when they laid hands on people and gave them a gift of the Holy Spirit. That authenticated them as apostles. The miraculous gifts also confirmed the written word of God. And so both of those things, when the completion, when the apostles' work was done, and surely that would be done by their deaths, by the end of the time that they were died, they would have accomplished what God had set out for them to accomplish. No more apostles to authenticate, then really all of the gifts would, you know, be approaching an end. Prophecy and knowledge, you have to finish the scriptures for them to be done away with. But it just seems to me it's their purpose in authenticating the apostles and their work. And once the apostles were gone, there's just no more reason for that. And so they just stop, I think. Now, I don't know any better way to say that.
Billy Dickinson, and then Brother Clint.
You did do an excellent job. I enjoyed it. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is dealing with the assembly, and he gives the regulations and rules. And, of course, he says all things are to be done unto edifying. And the reason, I suppose, that when a tongue speaker spoke, that there had to be an interpreter, a translator, was because if there wasn't, then they couldn't be edified. So with that in mind, in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 3, or verse 4, he says, He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. If the man who spoke in a tongue, a language that he hadn't previously studied, if he didn't understand himself what he was saying, how was he edified?
Good question. And that I appreciate that. In this whole study, when you get to 1 Corinthians 14, you're the most unclear about everything. I think that he edifies himself, though, whether he understands it or not, the language and what he's saying. He edifies himself. He strengthens and upbuilds himself because he knows something unusual has happened. And this is from God. I'm not sure if that meets everything, but that's...
Could it be, and this is what Guy and Wood says, not that that proves it, you know, but could it be that the tongue speaker did understand what he was saying, and that's how he edified himself, and the reason that he couldn't be his own interpreter was because that would have negated, you know, it being a sign. In other words, if I got up here and I began to speak in German, and then I translated it, that wouldn't mean anything to you. You wouldn't know if I was telling you the truth or not. But if I got up here and I could miraculously speak in German, and then Smith knows German, and he translates it, well, then that, you know, that would reinforce the sign.
Well, that's really good. And I have thought that, I got to give it back to him and let him stand back up here in a minute. So then... What I said was, I like talking like this a little bit. What I said was, he has to pray to interpret. Sounds to me like he can interpret in some cases. He can't always understand what he's saying. Sometimes he may. But he is allowed to pray that he might interpret. Can he do that? And tell me about that. What does Guy and Wood say?
I don't know. I'll have to go back and read his book.
I bet Ronnie knows there.
Let's go over here to Clarence.
Very, very good presentation. Two questions. What is the gift of interpretation? And under what circumstances would it need to be used? Would it be used when somebody was not miraculously speaking in tongues? Or If I had the gift of interpretation and you had the gift of tongues, how would that work together and why?
All right, my topic was not the gift of interpretation. But we can ask you off the top of my head. Off the top of my head. The gift of interpretation is only found in this in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. And in that passage, it has to do with miraculous gifts, and it has to do with the miraculous gift of speaking in tongues. It's found in association with that. And it seems like it would be used, I thought about this as a subset, almost, of speaking in tongues. Now, could you have the gift of interpretation and also, if he came and spoke to me in German, could I do that? I don't know why not, but I'm not sure I know everything about the gift of interpretation.
Well, you know, that little booklet that Johnny Elmore wrote on great questions of the gospel age, he had a sermon on the spiritual gifts, and I think, I don't remember exactly, but I think that he took the position the gift of interpretation was the ability to translate somebody who naturally spoke in a foreign language. You couldn't just speak in a foreign language yourself, but you could translate for somebody who did, or something like that. But if that's not what he says and he watches this video, I apologize to him. I'll ask you another question.
Well, let me just say... Yeah. The gift of interpretation, like all of the other gifts, would have been a miraculous spiritual gift. And so, as the tongue speaker could speak in a language that he had never learned, the interpreter, it seems, would be able to interpret a language that he had never learned.
That's basically what Johnny says. In 1 Corinthians 13, when Paul says, "Though I speak in the tongues of men and of angels," what is that talking about?
Number one, we learned the word hyperbole here, I think. Exaggeration, you know. As far as we know, as far as I know, when angels speak to men, they speak in languages that men understand. I think I had written in my notes Abraham's conversation, Genesis 18. As far as we know, when angels speak to men, they speak in languages known to men. And so we shouldn't imagine, if we think they speak in some other, that's imagination. If we think they speak in some other language that no man, that's imagination on our part. As far as we know from the Bible, when angels speak to men, they speak in languages known by men. So maybe angels can speak in lots of languages of men. I don't know. But they speak in languages understood by men.
Brother Ronnie Wade.
In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 27, he said, "If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at least, or let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged." First of all, when he says, "Let there be two or three," is he talking about two or three sentences? Is he talking about two or three people?
Well, I would answer this like this. I think it sounds like two or three people. But as soon as we start cutting out the words that are in italics, it sounds less like that. It sounds like if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three, in turn let one interpret. I just cut out the words in italics there. I think that the position that he says means two or three phrases has more, I'm going to say credibility. And I think that, I'll tell you why I think that. Because of my experience. Didn't want to say that almost. I have been translated a lot of times. And you do not stand up there and read a paragraph or speak a paragraph that doesn't make sense, the interpreter will forget what you have spoken. And, or he will, it'll just get messed up. It's always better to speak one sentence, or even not less than a sentence. If you can speak a phrase to a paragraph in your sentences, let him go there. It goes back and forth much quicker. It's not as tiring on the audience, because that's my experience. And so what I believe about this is colored by my experience.
You know, we have in the past had brethren who took it to mean that there could only be two or three speakers. And in fact, they wouldn't attend a 4th of July meeting where we had a number of speakers because they felt like that was a violation of this passage. I think your interpretation is the correct one, though. And then another question closely in this passage. He said, let this man speak to himself and to God. Wouldn't that imply that he understood what he was saying if he speaks to himself? So that actually the tongue speaker would actually know what he was saying.
At least sometimes. another point about that, it does not make sense that the tongue speakers would be reduced to two or three only, while the prophets can speak as many. You can all, verse 31, you can all prophesy one by one. And that makes much better sense. We put the tongue speakers who are being interpreted in the same category as the prophet. It becomes almost the same thing. If they're interpreted, it's the same thing.
Brother Wong.
In dealing with this subject, there is many difficulties that I deal with in understanding these things. But my question would be, by what scriptural authority is there to say that with 100%, without doubt, that all spiritual gifts have passed away?
That's a good question. And it's probably one that we're going to be asked all the time. A corollary to that might be, aren't you limiting the Holy Spirit, or are you, some would even say, blaspheming the Holy Spirit when you say that there are no more miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit? By what authority do I say that? I think we went through the Bible, and we started in Mark chapter 2, and we found in Mark chapter 2 that the gift of speaking in tongues was there. It was prophesied by Jesus. And then when we find it in Acts chapter 2, it is languages. And we find it coming in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is in fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel that's recorded in the book of Acts chapter 2, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And that prophecy is fulfilled in the story or the account in Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit was, when the apostles as Jews were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 10, the household of Cornelius are Gentiles and they're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Both of them speak in tongues as evidence that they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But that ends there. That prophecy is fulfilled. It's done. That the Holy Spirit would, that he would pour his Spirit out on all flesh. It's done. In Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 10. Now, is there another way to be able to get the miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit, and in particular, speaking in tongues? In Acts chapter 19, Paul, as an apostle, laid hands on them, and they received a miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit, actually, tongues and prophecy. Now, is there, when the apostles died, there would be no more, there's no succession of apostles, contrary to the world's viewpoint of things, or some in the world, there's no succession of apostles. What we have in their place, good point I want to make here. Question, do we have apostles today? I love this one. Yes, the same ones they had in the Bible. Love that one. Okay, so we have apostles, the same ones they had. But they're not here. And They're not here to lay hands on. So if someone claims they have a miraculous gift of the Holy Spirit, it might be healing, it might be speaking in tongues, it might be interpretation. If they claim they have that, the question is, biblically, where did they get the authority for that? Because the Bible does not authorize any other method except the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is finished and completed in Acts 2 and Acts 10, and the laying on of the apostles' hands. There is no other methodology for that in the Scripture. So where did they get their authority for that? That's, I think, a good answer for that. If they ask, where'd you get your authority to say it stopped? I say, where'd you get your authority for what you have? Because their authority is not from the Scriptures. That's what I think is a good, is the best answer.
Okay, in Romans chapter 12, there's gifts as well given, but it doesn't say spiritual gifts. Do you think these gifts are different than the spiritual gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit? Because it says that we're given these by the grace that is given to us.
I don't think these are miraculous gifts. That's what I think.
So these still apply today?
Well, I'm just going to try and read them here. I think we have gifts as in the subject of ability. Some of these are miraculous gifts. In verse 6, if prophecy, let us prophesy. I think miraculous gifts, and these may be miraculous, or some of them may be. Miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit are given through the laying on of the apostles' hands. And if there are no apostles to give them for us today, then there are no gifts. Now, do we have abilities like these? In verse 7, he who teaches teachings. There are the ability of teaching, but it's not a miraculous ability.
Where do you believe that gift comes from?
I think God blesses our lives non-miraculously in various ways. Everyone has different talents and abilities. And then we have opportunities to develop those talents and abilities. And God blesses our lives in different ways.
Very quick.
Good question.
One last question from Clint, and then that'll be it.
All right, brother, I've just been listening to Billy and listening to Ronnie. I was trying to figure out, as you were talking about 1 Corinthians 14, what exactly is going on in 1 Corinthians 14. And it seems that the problem had to do with things that were not being done to edification. I couldn't find the passage that you were talking about where it said, let him pray that he may interpret, but I see now it's verse 13. But could it be that what Paul is doing here is contrasting a more valuable gift with a less valuable gift? If they were speaking in a tongue that nobody understood, then they were not doing anything good for the church. If they really wanted to do a service to the church for edification, then they should pray that they could interpret a tongue so that it would be understandable by the people. Not their own tongue, but anyway, just a thought.
Very good point.
Any quick closing remarks, brother?
Me?
Yes.
Oh. Thank you very much. I appreciate it very much. I enjoy the conversation we've had, and I appreciate that very much. And this is a learning experience for me, just like you. So, thanks for the opportunity.